little sidebar. Thank you. As I read.
not exactly. Start restreaming, but haven't started to record. Now I can pull this off the internet later, but we had left off in the middle of Theoden's turn. And the creatures, okay, the GMs out there know the joke behind the Jim and Henson, okay? These are named creatures. A lot of the humanoids in this dungeon have... a lot of the humanoids in this dungeon actually have real names, which means crit cards and fumble cards abound for these poor schmucks. They can use them against you, as our rules, and, you know, they gave them all names. But it's not like they're going to tell you their name. You know, it's written in the book. So when you guys start making the Muppet jokes, and I went, oh, it's Jim and Henson, you know, because you decide to name them. But honestly, like, we're not trying to use the crit cards and cheat the game that these are nobody, you know, NPCs or something. They have names, and there is a reason why these Mwangi Expanse native creatures are here in this part of the world. I just wanted to clear that up for, you know, like, players or somebody that hasn't, you know.
But we don't know where they're from. I don't think anybody's bothered to try and figure out where they are. We'll do that after they're dead.
Yeah, no, but, yeah. Well, you guys haven't seen...
We'll see
this. There's a pattern, you know. There has been a pattern.
If we survive this encounter...
yeah, your tank's down. So, doing my best, the Owen. Right, so, have I got the tongue off me? Maybe I just lather it up a little bit with it, you know, and decide what I'm going to do. What would you guys like the Owen to do? I'm not getting blamed for his death. I say he'll take an action to get the tongue off of him, even though the guy's dead. He's got two left. So, I think he would hoist his axe and move... to the left, to the west, up and around all the junk, you know, that's climbing the back walls in this kidney-shaped room, and he'd swing with his mighty axe. I honestly think that that's what Theon would do.
Absolutely.
And like I say, I agree. I'll just have him doing the generic stuff, unless you guys seriously interject and say, no, you know, he wouldn't lather.
He wouldn't drink alcohol.
he wouldn't lather before he rinsed, you know, that kind of thing, so... All right. Well, he goes for it. And if he's swinging his axe, you know, I gotta cue the battle music. It's time to go to battle. So, without further delay, as I'm scroll. Oh, there he is. Swinging with his axe. And what? Jesus, he's got like a plus 11 to hit with his first strike. You guys are like second level? This is nuts. So, swinging with his mighty axe. He attacks on his third action. Really shouldn't call them chevrons anymore. And hits the creature. Whoops, wrong damage. Crap. Yeah, he's going to hate me. I have a question. The great axe damage is 2d12 all the time? That can't be right.
Yep. Nope, it's all the time.
I thought it was 1D, and then like you guys enhanced it, and you put the second dice in there and probably forgot to take it out.
No, the enhancement gives him 3. That's why he was able to chop that fire method down with basically one fell.
With the big swirling in the air. And
That's fell with 1E.
The camera angle.
All right. So,
around.
ignoring the 6 points that I accidentally did with the wrong dice and giving it back to Medium Humanoid number 1, Jim. As you were calling him, though he's got, I've got a name, you know. probably. Rolling the proper dice for 16 points. Jeez. Burying his axe deep into the collarbone. And he just looks at him like, you know, but he's blinking at him. And there's that moment. And Theon's like, kind of, you know, wiggles the axe, you know, like in Lord of the Rings where he's doing the thing in the guy's nerves on the ground. But the guy's like, still looking at him. He's still up and running. And it's Muros' turn. And Albrecht, you are on deck. Muros. What do you do?
I hustle up beside my cousin. Hey, what's this? You didn't even finish him off with one fell swoop. Shame.
That's me. You moved me.
Oh, no. Sorry. You know, we're dwarves. We do look alike.
I.
You're the bald one with bracers. You know, the monkish looking one.
I've been drinking since breakfast. Give it a break. So, in that case, I hustle 5, 10, 15, 20. Right beside my cousin. Notice. Josh him for not killing it in one swipe. And Flurry of Batons this bite.
Fury.
All right.
Yep.
For some reason, I totally have a mental image of your dwarf being all Bruce Lee-like.
What up? What? Yeah.
What?
You just Bruce Lee, but like two octaves lower.
Sorry. Picture a 1970s camera on the hood of a great big black Dodge shooting through the window, and you've got Miro done up like Kato, and you've got Albert done up like the Hornet.
Still no shirt.
Still no shirt, you know. And no?
It's terrible.
Yeah. So, what do you got for me there? I guess you want a target on him, don't you? There you go.
Oh, I was about to roll a die, but I want to do something fancy.
Yep, you got him. Yeah. See, sorry, he's up.
Okay. Pittance. 19. I rolled.
No, it came up.
I don't know why.
Oh, there it is. Here we go.
Critical.
Nope. No.
What?
I'm not sure what's going on there.
It's a 19, 8, it's a status 27? Critical.
Oh, so, that was just, I just grabbed the wrong thing in the chat and dropped it in. I don't think it worked. There you go.
Okay. So we won't count the first one because nobody saw it but me.
Okay. So that was Matt dicking around. Okay, I see it. So Miro Sanvobender has a 6 plus 8, 14, and that's a miss. Yeah. Now your flurry gets you multiple attacks, so.
24.
That is a hit.
Ah!
Breaking the jaw. But of course, I look like a big frog, so he's like got rubbery skin and probably a rubbery jaw? Are there any bones in a frog's neck?
Mm. Of course. They're not slugs, dude. They're frogs.
It's not a frog. He's a... I'll give you a hint. My first name should be Humphrey, but it's not. So, damage.
Dams. 9.
You do D8s with your fists?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
AD8.
Yeah.
Well, that's still
not a great axe.
Still better than like with the. Well, I've noticed they've given static hit points, so you have a bar, and then like everyone's dice damage is kind of increased with weaponry to like reflect, you know. So even a tiny little construct, you know, gets the D6, even though its size is tiny. Like I actually had to wonder about that one when somebody mentioned it. But here you are, your D6 of ye old days fist is now a D8, and a great axe is 2D12. I'd like to play this.
Well, it's because I'm a monk.
Yeah. Well, we all have smack, silly slap smack D4 fists that even do lethal damage now in this game. So, anyway, unfortunately, his eyes loll back in the head as your punches actually detach him from Theon's axe. But I don't slump to the floor or, you know, declare death or anything until Albrecht's turn. I mean, until my own turn. Who knows? Albrecht, what do you want to do? They are going to town on this thing.
Sweet. Right then, I will walk over here, give him a wee poke with my silver mace.
I don't think I've ever seen you use a melee weapon before.
I have not ever used a melee weapon. I figure I just got it in the other room, might as well try it out a bit. So let's see if I can whack him.
So you walk with it, you draw it as an action, and coming to the adjacent square. Now...
Oh.
You see the critical miss, you see the object.
This is why I don't go poking things.
Mal was right about you.
There's a tent in the way. Like you don't even see it. Like look how the tent is not only in your square, it's in the monk square. Like imagine walking like there's a guy standing out in the front of his tent at a concert. And he turns to the right. So now the zipper's on his right shoulder, okay? Miros comes up to the right side of the tent and kind of sidesteps three. And he's facing the side of the tent. Like, no wonder. Look at the terrain, man. Oh. So I'm saying that's what explains your critical miss.
Oh, I think it's just a blatant lack of experience.
Yeah, well, I'm still drawing a card, buddy.
Sorry if I hit you, Miros. Your chest hair can take it.
Oh, okay. I just hope I don't go blind with this one.
Would you like to know what a spell would have done?
Sure.
Too bad. You have a melee weapon. You hit yourself instead of the target. Better to give, it says.
That's funny.
Hang on.
So there's D6 bludgeoning.
No, there's great.
Can I attack myself?
Yep, there's great joy as I target yourself and Fantasy Grounds go nuts. Oh, yes. There will be blood tonight. Or bruises.
What?
2D6.
It's not 2D6. Oh, it was crit.
It was a critical miss, so you.
Right, no, Willy.
Oh, but it's not. No.
Oh, the boys.
It's not. No, you're right. Because you know how the critical hits take a damage dice off? Wouldn't a critical fumble also as well? So you only take one D6 and the card? No.
I don't know.
No, wait a minute. No, the card started the hit against you anyway. That's something we're going to look into.
2D6? Yeah, no, it says it's 2D6. Hold on. Did I screw up?
No, it's... Yeah.
Let's try that again. Yeah, I did. I accidentally must have clicked it twice or something. Dude, just take the first one. I rolled the 4 points.
Okay.
Oh, the first die?
Okay. Yeah, so, but he's whacking away and he's bleeding it. Like, every time you roll that dice, man, you take it.
Oh, yeah, I hurt myself, didn't I? No,
I fixed it. I can override the damage, but he's like, look just at this D6. Click, click, click. He's like, why do you keep hitting yourself? Why do you keep hitting? Stop that. All right, Albrecht, are you done?
Oh, right, my Willy. Oh.
I'd like.
Oh, yeah, I think I'm done.
He's trying to reach past Stone Mountain next to him in this tent, and it kind of just bounces off a chest hair and whacks him in the head. It's time for your pup familiar, Eris.
Oh, man.
Eris laughs at his master's incompetent action with a mace. Should have just nuked him. But that's fine. It's fine.
I think it's cute how you named your pup after one of our patrons, but if you were only playing a witch, and then you could name the familiar after the patron, you know, get it? Anyway. $50 tier and up. No. Our first, hopefully of many, Jackson Eris loves this show. Specifically, of all the shows we do, he loves this one. And you guys said, Cousin Eris, you know, remember Cousin Eris, you know, and he got his little shout out. So, Matt going above and beyond, you know, naming the pup after him. That's what, you know, that's all about. So
it was just pure laziness. I'm not going to lie.
Couldn't research a real name. Oh, who's that patron that Jeff mentioned? All right. So, Eris, the work pup familiar, can he do anything for you besides look cute and poke out of your robes?
Oh, he totally could, but he's not going to. I'm not ready for that yet.
Okay. That refers to the... Meanwhile,
It's first day.
Meanwhile, cowering back at the front door. I mean, unable to get close because the dwarves are mauling. Naya's Albright is up.
Okay, yes. Sitting back.
What are you doing? Are you like banging the door? All I hear is...
Oh, sorry. What I was doing was going to cast a spell.
Okay. You're even thumping lights while you're talking. That's actually impressive. What we can do?
Little divine lance.
Okay,
I just have to roll. So
yes, please remain still from the neck down. Refrain from corrupting my audio and cast your spell.
Sorry, I'm sitting on the floor.
Also, you can remove my frightened effect because I've had my turn.
Ooh, frightened my look done.
Oh, I thought it was the end of my turn, not your turn. Like when it comes around to him, that's a single round of frightenness. Yes.
Oh, geez.
No, I think it was for your turn. It goes down by one step every turn.
Yeah, but we haven't had a full round. I just croaked. Like, literally. So what are you casting there, Niles?
I am casting Divine Lance.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, I didn't target him, but I didn't need to. I missed. I can tell you that because I hit an AC of 9.
Okay.
Do you not have a spellcasting modifier that gets tacked onto that?
Oh, sorry, I do. So an AC of 13.
Okay. Now this thing
I did mention
this thing's eyes are rolling around its head, and he knocked it off the axe, and it's staggering backward and slumping to the ground. It won't hit the ground until it's his turn as a joke, but, you know, it is definitely in bad shape, hence the croak reference.
Hence the croak reference.
I feel bad if you waste all your little chevrons on... I mean, it's legit. It's,
oh, don't worry.
If you're far back, you can't see, you know. You know, can't see it.
It is a cantrip, so I can sit here and cast it all day. All
right.
But it is two actions, so my third action, I take a swing. I am done.
Okay. Well, don't forget, you can always use an action to recall to, like, figure out what you're, you know, fighting in battle as opposed to, like, this is what we killed. Maybe we should have kept it alive. Back to the medium humanoid. Perhaps he has his name sewn into his boots or something, and you could learn his real name is not Jim. Slumps to the floor. Expired. Combat ending at the top of the third round. And, we'll have to confirm the frighten now, frighten then, bit. So, what do you guys want to do while I take off these little effects here?
Knowledge nature of 10. Oh, sorry, it should be 11, but my effect's still on.
Search the room!
To figure out what it was we just killed.
Okay. And Miro starts ransacking?
Yes.
All right. The battle end. The bat with the battle won. Theon cleaning off his axe. Yeah. And immediately standing guard or, you know, disappearing through a door onto the next encounter because we just can't wait. Off he goes.
Was Theon injured this battle? I do not remember because it was left.
He got hit with a tongue and it might have done a little bit of damage, but I believe he was grabbed. And I struck.
He doesn't feel pain.
Well, I used the tongue grad to strike, and I just assumed it was AC. But when you grapple, you're actually hitting the guy's fortitude save.
Yes,
as reminded by listeners, and I just assumed it hit his AC, and that was a grab. But it might have actually targeted. Anyway, a high roll, which would have hit both, got him, and there was the free grab, and then he started reeling him in, and then. Theon was getting held, and then all of a sudden I died. So I don't think I don't have any damage listed here. So I think he's okay. Now, Albrecht, like they were fanned out right in front of you, 15 feet away. You saw the swing. You know, I mean, you would say, "Oh, Niles," he like leans in, right? He's using a mace, poing badly. Okay, you know, so.
Need some training.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'll sit down on the broken table.
Okay.
What? Gently rub the welt that's slowly rising.
All right, so we've got Miros, Sergeant. So do you want some perception checks? You want to do the quick toss? Or are you guys happy to like camp down for the big 20 minutes here?
A knowledge nature of 11 tell me what this creature is?
We're looking at monstrous humanoids, not animals. But they've grouped a lot of skills together, so that could possibly be the one you're after. Just have a look at your skill list here, sir. I'm just having a quick look to see if there's society would probably identify the creature. Nature or society, but
right in the description, recall knowledge about fauna, flora, geography, weather, the environment, creatures of natural origin like animals, beasts, fae, and plants. So if it's a humanoid, probably not.
Yeah, so I would probably lean on the society just because they act tribal and.
All right, well here's my society. 18. Haha.
Aha. Uh-huh. Humphrey. Bogart. Get it?
It's a Bogart.
It's a Bogart.
Don't Bogart that joint, my friend.
What?
It's okay.
A Bogart. A Bogart. A Bogart.
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 Bogart. Bogart.
Pronounced
Bogart, yep.
Wrongly by me, so I'm just going to stop saying it. Likely. if we play the odds, get somebody else to. But
So what do I know about him? And.
Well, you know, like, do you want to look over the body? Well, hang on. Let's back up a second here. So you're looking at this thing and it's like Bogart society. Yeah. Mwagi Expanse, the tribal, the markings, and it is their society. You know, they're all over the world, but they're like a swamp like creature again, you know, come from the expanse. Niles, some healing. Yes.
A medicine check.
All right. So let's have that. And
I do believe.
Miros, did you want to take the long road? These guys seem to be settling in. Did you want to do the 10-20 minute flip, or are you happy to like jump on a crate, rip into a tent, give me a perception check, you know, that kind of thing? Like both are viable.
Yeah,
but...
we'll take time.
Okay.
We'll thoroughly pad the room.
All right. I would like some diplomacy or intimidate checks to keep Theon from busting into the next room as he was so liable to do last session and wake up the dungeon as well, gentlemen.
All right. Theon, there might be hidden treasure in here. What are you doing?
All you gotta do is beat his personal DC.
I will activate
DC-12.
My intimidating glare on Theon. Give him the eye. You stay freaking put.
He's
23.
He's through the door and found another door. Not looking at you, you know.
He can feel my eyes boring into his back.
He's kind of doing the, you know, like he's turning and you just see the eyeball crank. He stops. So medicine check from Niles and we'll have a peek and see, you know, what's in the room here.
Yes, sorry. A medicine check of 21. And I'm just looking up how much that actually gives him.
Oh.
Next.
Well, he's only down 4 points, so I'm assuming like with the D8, D10, you get to roll?
I can't remember.
You roll a D8, and then for every plus you get past the DC, it gives you an extra hit point. I'm pretty sure is how it worked.
A couple of Ds.
I'm trying to remember.
It should be on your character sheet. Like if you go to the skill, don't forget all the drop downs. Don't kill yourself trying to flip through core books when Fantasy Grounds, shout out to our sponsor. You know, is providing the information at your fingertips here.
Yeah.
Medicine check DC is usually 15, though that you can adjust it. If you're an expert in medicine, you could instead attempt a DC 20 to increase the hit points gained by 10. Okay, so nope. Okay, if you succeed your check, you can continue treating the target to grant additional healing. If you treat them for 1 hour, double the hit points they regain from treat wounds. Okay, well, you don't need to do that. So that's a success. Critical success is 48. And its wounded condition is removed. Just regular success is 2d8, and its wounded condition is removed. Critical failure, the target takes 1d8 damage.
Yeah, okay. So what was your actual medicine check roll?
21.
Okay, and it's 15 on somebody else. So you'd need 25 to get a critical. So
critical, yeah, right.
So your 2d8 is good, though. 10 minutes and 2d8.
Unless he's an expert. Are you an expert?
No. I'm just trained. I'm sorry. I'm only level one still, boys.
Yes.
Stop switching characters and show it. Don't cop it on that one.
Oh, I only rolled one. Sorry.
He really rolled a one on a D8.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't roll a D8.
Get another one. Come on. All you need is a three.
Anyone ever told you, Joe, you're very literal? He's very literal.
I only rolled one die. But yeah.
well, I've already taken a four off, so come on. Let's see a three.
I'm waiting for the dice to reappear.
Okay. So let's go back to Miles. Miles is ripping this place apart.
I think if you just click in the window, it'll pop it back.
It's not.
It's not working. He's having such a terrible time.
Oh, well, talk
here,
about
it. I'll roll.
Thank you.
Woo-hoo.
There you go. Roll your own points.
Seven.
Yeah, you so you're healed. Oh, you're fine.
Thank you, Lord.
You're fine. Oh.
No problem.
So you're poking around, and the place is a mess. I mean, it's squalid living. Someone's literally squatting here. There's makeshift tents, though it is actually made out of, like, the proverbial tent burlap and that kind of thing, Miros. A lot of things in the room, like I said before, are smashed. The tents are greasy. Mm. And again, this would be, like, waterproofing Albrick. And... au naturel, you know, like they're dirty and greasy, but, you know, grease fabric actually repels water. It's raining, the magma expands. So I'm not saying they were smart enough to grease it and act fresh, but their squalid living of grease on the tent does certainly help, you know. There's moldy piles of cloth and broken this and that. And it's really just a bunch of junk. You do come across a couple of things. You come across a makeshift wooden cup with the name Crick carved with a sharp object in the bottom. Like, you know, this is my coffee mug. Don't touch. And you...
Mr. Crick here?
Yeah. And you do come across a piece of... It's shiny. It's like a brass pot. God knows what he uses it for. That, like, in a chalky substance, it scraped Rourke on the side of it. And then 10 minutes go by and you're not finding much. And these guys are still talking. They're doing their healing check and you're, you know, check on Theowen and he decides to help you, you know, in those 10 minutes earlier, counting as a sort of 20 minute, you know, good 10, 20 minute search. And you find a little figurine of a dog made of onyx.
Ooh. Shiny.
And I will put that interesting item in our party sheet.
Hey, Albrick, you want to take a look at this?
What have you found, cousin?
A pot.
A pot. Right then.
Hey, it's got a name written in the side of it, too.
It's a pissing pot.
See, there's something in the bottom. I don't think you should touch the bottom.
That's good. Ryan, I'm going to give you a hero point. That was so good. That was so smooth, man. Come on. Like, you just expect him to, like, oh, I have a magical item. I turn to the wizard, you know. Hey, look what I found. It's a pot. That's good, man. Hero point, definitely.
Nice.
On top of the one that we get per session. Nah.
I also found this. It's a cup.
Pot and a cup.
Yeah, a pot and a cup.
Very good. Are you planning on making us lunch?
No, these things. I wouldn't. Oh.
Right then.
Oh, and this one.
I'll take a look at them, and I'll do my detect magic.
While he's really looking at them, I'm holding the onyx and I'm looking at that figure like, this is good.
So,
it's your craftsmanship.
Oh, yes, that's right. I can cast it at will.
Come again? What?
It's my...
It's a cantrip.
Arcane sense feat.
Mm.
Yes, you can cast first level detect magic at will as an arcane innate spell.
Shiny.
And as my arcana goes up, its level goes up.
That's fancy.
Yes.
So what do we got?
Set of feet.
So what do we got? Like with a, is it auto detect? Are we telling, you know, what's our DC here for? Did we ever get into? It was sessions ago. We tried ID an item, and I think we like
make arcana checks.
Yeah,
And that would allow you to identify an item, as long and having detect magic enables that further.
There you go. Detect magic.
Identify magic.
You send it a pulse that registers the presence of magic. That's all you get from it.
And then you can use magic, or you can, or you can use your skill arcana to identify magic.
Right. So, but this will tell me if anything within 30 feet is magic. Ping.
Right in front of you.
It's my magic and I'll cry if I want to. Yeah. It's a soft ping. You know, it's here. But the ping is there. Wait, have a ping, Prashelli. Give me one ping. One ping only. No?
No.
Fine.
So is it, do I detect any magic? Does anybody have anything that's magical?
Yeah.
Theoin.
Theoin's blue gem that you placed upon the shaft of his ends.
Ping. Yep, I know about that.
There's, you know, things that you guys have previously pinged, because I'm sure we've been down this road before. You know, the a couple of odds and sods. There's the cat clasp, the little key cat clasp that you guys found.
Yeah.
You know, things things like that, yeah. Now, if you want to pull up there your party sheet and, you know, be specific and go, oh, hey, you know, what exactly, you know, exactly is going on here with the pinging and the thing and the...
Well, just trying to find out what's magic, because that's what's going to tell me. That's all it can tell me. And then I can use my knowledge of the arcane to further divine what the object may be.
Right.
Or if it's a different type
of... So is either magic, the cup or the pot magical?
No, they both look pretty used, but I wouldn't say they're magical.
Yeah, I'll just drop them, kick them into the corner. The details are trivial. I'll walk back over the corpse and say something like, well, these guys seem to be far from home.
Oh, wait, you dropped the pot there. I hand him the onyx figurine, and I pick up the pot that he just dropped.
Which is probably glowing. It's magical.
in your mind's eye, yeah. Because I think it appears to glow to your perception. It doesn't glow for one going, that's magic.
Right. Yeah. Ping.
Yeah. So give me some. Right, then. Let's give us some checks here. Now, I know. Back me up on this, Joe. Like, there's got to be a DC.
Come on.
To identify. You know, I'm looking at my screen.
11. Here. Probably not.
If you want to identify a magic, then it takes time. And there is a DC. But to just do detect magic, then as Matt states, is there any pings? And then that's you go from there. If he wants to take time, it's 10 minutes to try to identify it. And then it's based on your knowledge. So if it's arcana, it's good for Matt.
Yeah. Well, for 11, you know, it's magical and you could guess what it would do. It's onyx. It's a dog. Try not to meta of the last game. But 11 is, you know, not great.
It's just the GM.
We'll need some time with this.
Yeah.
Save that for when we're bedding down.
Yeah.
Because the GM sets the difficulty, sets the DC.
Well, right here on my screens, and it even says core book, like 503, it talks about DCs by level, level 0, 14, level 1, 15. Right? So I wonder if items have a level. And then they talk about a spell level here. You know, I love these lovely screens that I'm just quickly perusing. But,
because the easiest way that I could understand is that it'd be the same DC as trying to learn a spell, right? So like a first level or cantrip spell, a DC is 15. Second level is 18. Third level is 20. That's an easy DC for you to set based on the magical item. That would be my guess. Unless you actually want to look up the magical item and then go by the crafting and what it's actually. But for off the wing, it emulates a first level spell. It's a DC 15. To make it faster.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
It's not correct, but to make things faster.
The book does pretty much say that the GM sets the DC, though.
Well,
right?
It's telling me right in front of my face. It's telling me that it's a level 2 item, and so going up it's 16. If I'm going cut and dry here. However, even with an 11, okay, I can tell you this: you know to use it. You just hold it in your hand. You don't have to throw it down or smash it or, you know what I mean? Like, as far as activation goes, these things with a beating a DC of 10, I can tell you that this isn't something like a one-off that you destroy or that will lose its magic once it's activated. This you know. Second thing I can tell you with your 11 is you're pretty sure that you just hold it in your hand and it's a command object.
Sweet.
You know, what that command well, like is, whether you will it to do something or you're like, go Fido or something, you know, you're not sure. Cause then it can get particulars with the, you know, the creator. But
Dogachu, I choose you.
I can tell you it's made of, onyx and it's 1 inch tall. Like it's a tiny little thing. Like those little porcelain things that grandma used to, like, it's tiny. Like they always think of like Guinevere. It's like, you know, it's the size of your phone. You know, I have the onyx panther, go Guinevere. And it's like, no, this thing is like, you know, put 2d6s together back to back. You know, it's like, you know, like the little tiny, oh, porcelain, I hope, where did I put it? In my spell
pouch. It's a Monopoly token thing.
Yeah, well, a little bigger than that, but yeah, yeah.
A little bigger than that. Yep. Okay, cool. Okay. Kinder surprise. There you go.
it's very simple carving. It's made of onyx. And,
or perhaps a miniature made by Messina's Marvelous Miniatures.
Da-da-da. Oh, no, he rebranded.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. What's the new name? Oh, we're not allowed to talk about it until he launches, sorry. Don't get talking
manufacturing
about
and more.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, oh. Cool. Excuse me. All right, moving on, Sneezy.
Sorry.
No, that was Theo and headbutting the door. Can we go? Can we go? Can we go?
Yep.
The dwarven stealth happening.
Yeah.
Speaking of dwarven stealth, you guys look. Right then, so we're gone. And he threw the door. And sure enough, you know, there's that proverbial, you ever hear a monster like look over and go, huh? Right? Just, what is that?
Pull a towel up?
Yeah. What the hell? Once fine seating made from mahogany and velvet has now been broken into pieces and used to fashion crude shelters. To the north of this very narrow room, it's only 10 feet deep. As he breaches it going east, directly across from Theon is another door you can see over his shoulder. To the north, the door is heavily barricaded with debris, and there's a door on the south, which you might guess leads back to one of those spidery tunnels that went to the big hallway. And sure enough, you know, he just kicks open the door, looks left, looks right. Aye, we're surrounded! And just goes charging in at the first thing. Surrender! You know, that kind of thing. No, I don't think Theon would actually provoke a fight because he came in the room and these things came up and like threw javelins at him. And the Bolgarts, he didn't start a fight. Right? So I think he would stand his ground, hoist his axe, look around and demand surrender using intimidating glare. Tell me I'm wrong.
Oh, absolutely. And he's super lazy. So, I mean.
They said it, Frank, not me, buddy. I'm just the guy puppeting your mini. They're the one hurling the insults. So let's have perception. Now, Theon, I'm just going to leave it as 17. That is like what he was always doing, right? But a new round of perception, boys.
Oh, Lord.
Because I'm sure Niles doesn't want to go last again.
Hey, it's all right.
Get old.
I got a 14.
I got a 9.
Niles gets a.
I'm getting there.
No, I was gonna say Niles gets a 25, and he just holds an action.
9.
Excellent.
You rolled a 2. You go next year.
What's your dex?
Yeah. Hold on. I gotta look.
Well, I'm going off of like the +7 Niles has to your +5, so I'll actually say that Niles goes first, right?
Sure.
Right, because he actually has the bigger bonus to the perception.
Considering it's wisdom based, yeah, I hope so.
All right.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I think the, you know, now he gets in there and, you know, he wants to demand surrender. But I'll tell you, these creatures that are looking, oh no, I went to all the trouble of swapping in some shout out to Devon Knight minis this morning and they've erased.
Boo.
That's right. They look like baboons, large rainbow butt monkeys that standing on, you know, like they have the white face with the red.
I believe they go by the name Finger 11 now.
Yes.
Ooh.
Like the band?
Yeah, they used to be called Rainbow Butt Monkeys.
Butt Monkeys, now it's Finger 11.
Okay.
Or for the last few years.
So Finger 11, two members are on the south wall. Okay. And they're jamming, you know, like they were like making some music, you know, banging on their pots and stuff, you know.
You know, so they're
named. Don't take Rourke.
So they're named.
sad to say, I told you, like, everything in this dungeon has a freaking name. So, but unless you ask them, you're just going to have to give them names. So, like I said, the figuring out 11 guys, right? To the north is another Boggart, a bigger one with a bow.
Ooh.
Okay. Theoin, on his turn, wants to stand them down. But I'll tell you this. They bust through the door, and the one right beside Frank sees him, and something primal inside this humanoid. I mean, it's standing on two legs, though it's a little hunched. It looks intelligent, and I can even go so far as to show you. It's picture time. Right?
Picture time.
Okay. This is a Boggart that you see to the north. With a bow. This.
Ooh.
Are dripping with venom.
Are the crazy guys that came at you. That's Jim and Henson.
Oh my god. The resemblance is uncanny.
You're like, yeah, the Kermit and the Frog, okay? And this creature is what stands before you. Two of them, former members of the Finger 11 band, carrying a scythe and a whip. And they're like literally doing that. We're heading one way. They have hands for feet. They're wearing feathery hide clothing that just barely covers, you know, they got the feathery shin guards, the feathery loincloth with tooth rings accenting. They have the military webbing, but it's all made out of like rope with teeth inserted, like looking like little spikes. There's a hide of some creature.
Super tribal.
Yeah, yeah. They're right up. But they deliberately have that blue eyeshadow high up on the cheek of the eye look, you know.
Yeah, the baboon face.
And the red nose and the actual fangs as they, you know, this thing turns and looks at you and just, to put it nicely, loses his shit. This thing goes nuts. It wails at you, turns around, draws weapons, and is right, you know, right in front of Frank. So I'm thinking Frank gets attack of opportunity. Now, I know you get attacks of opportunity from movement. Do you get attacks of opportunity, Joe, from drawing a weapon in front of somebody?
It is.
A manipulation.
It's a manipulation. Yeah, thank you. Anything that is manipulation, you get a reaction of a attack of opportunity.
Okay, so he comes in and he's ready to glare, demanding surrender, and a guy makes a move and Frank just reacts. You know, he sees weapon coming up at him. He reacts, man. He swings because they're on kitty corner adjacent. Like I said, this is a very narrow room. At the top and bottom, it's barely 5 feet. In this hallway of a room where you are, it's only 10 foot to the back wall. And he's coming in, spearheading this long banana-shaped room from its center. There's literally a guy reach out kitty corner on his right and a guy below him and this bow-slinging heavy Boggart on the left, 10 feet to the north. So, reaction, Frank. 15 love, you know, good old, Theoin's going to, you know, react, swinging. This guy gets his weapon ready and swings and gets a critical.
Oh, beauty.
Ew.
Go Frank.
Now,
I can say,
carve your initials, normal damage.
I apologize for calling you lazy.
Yeah.
That's why he did this.
Do you want to hear the card?
Yes,
sure. Sorry.
Okay. It's called Carve Your Initials. Too bad Frank's not here to read it. So, moving on.
sorry. That's dirty.
Sorry.
No, he'll spend his hero point.
Normal damage. Now, that's dirty. Because if he dies and doesn't have a hero point later, that's on you, man.
Yeah, no, don't. I would not.
Save the hero point for, his imminent doom. Normal damage. The target is so humiliated, it can do nothing but attack you. At the end of each of its turns, it can attempt a will save to end this effect. Carve like, oh, so sounds, as if you would literally carve your initials in him. It's so humiliating.
Runs in and does the Zorro.
Yeah. But anyway, so instead of getting the extra damage for a hero point, he's doing normal damage. But this thing, it's funny because I had it freak out. Looked like it was going to do that anyway.
It's a big T.
So Theoin draws all kinds of, draws all kinds of aggro. So
yeah, he does.
Yep. But I got to take some of the damage off because, you know, this thing rolls the crazy. So
holy crap.
Yeah.
I say you give him the 9 and the 10.
Oh yeah. No, the first two. Yeah. No,
first two.
Yeah. The first, he gets the first two normal damage. The black dice would be the regular. The crit are the greens.
19 and 8 is 27. 27 damage. Whap.
Yeah. So from the 43 that he, I'm sure if Frank's watched this at home, he's like, no, spend my hero point. Cough, cough. Poor six Frank rolling in bed, you know, doesn't have the will to get up going, spend the hero point. The Asian flu won't take me. Spend my hero point. I'll tell you this. If he one shots it, regardless of the damage, okay, I won't waste the hero point. This thing freaks out, comes at him, and he does this big slice down as a reaction, and it looks down offended that he got this, the tall part of the T, you know, like up and down, you know, and it freaks, like, looks at him in horror. I'm going to just, my new career is hating and hitting you, Theon. This baboon's looking at him. You could see it in his eyes. And Theon just crosses the T and ends him. And it drops to the ground without even the crit damage applied. Now it's Theon's go.
With a flourish.
That was a reaction. Okay. And again, I think he would, you know, use it. Try open with the intimidating glare to demoralize. Like, you know, who's next? Do you want to go? Are we done? You know, yeah. I'm not a fight man, but, you know.
That is why he picked up that feat, I do believe.
Yep. That's his, he did actually say, I think last session he was saying, that's my go-to opener. Stare him down.
Or cut them open, you know, 50-50.
Well, he couldn't help himself. That was pure reaction.
My bad. Sorry.
So
good job, Frank.
He has a feat called Intimidating Strike where creatures become frightened one and two on a crit. But it's dead. Is that everybody around him? The guy he crits. So if he crits you, he actually makes you frightened of him. Not mad. You become afraid of him because he almost disemboweled you.
We got to give him a lower damage weapon then.
Yeah, no. You know, you fear me from the nether plane. There's, you know, there's creatures storming the pearly gates. No, you'll find me. But intimidating glare. He can demoralize with a mere glare. And when he does, they lose the auditory trait and gain the visual trait. Oh, sorry. He's demoralizing without using auditory, because there's demoralize normally with intimidate, is what it's saying.
He's giving him the stink eye.
Yeah. However, he doesn't take any penalty, because normally when you demoralize with an intimidate, they got to understand you. Stink eye apparently crosses any language barrier, because it says the creature doesn't need to. So let's look at demoralization. How do you do that? He has to use his intimidate.
Will defense, I believe.
Yeah, he has to make
intimidate skill.
Right. So he's got to make an intimidate. Against the, Frank's having a great game. Too bad he's missing it.
He is.
You poor fucker. Game of his life. You know, he's not. He's not here to.
So that
to,
surpasses their will defense.
Yeah, he's not here to scold whoever's thumping their microphone. 10.
That's me trying to type.
Oh, is that what you're doing? Okay. Yes. Well, please stop that.
Then I can't look anything up.
Point and click at things. I don't know. Okay. Rob, I know you're listening. Get in here.
Get that junk stuff up. He's on chat. I'll tell him right now.
Rob, pull this up.
His thing is intimidating glare should work now. Yeah, no shit.
Thanks, Rob. So Rollmongers is looking for a rules lawyer.
That, I do one.
That isn't traveling abroad. Well, I'm teasing Joe because this poor guy is like, Joe, Mr. Gibson, I got to thank you. He works a 14-hour day. Comes home, not fed. He's sitting in a hotel room abroad from a construction site with a laptop and everything set up. And I'm like, and he's trying to type to do my job with me for me. And, but you know, you can hear on the microphone going, you know, so I'm giving him shit. That's like, surprised he doesn't quit on me.
So congrats on my typing skills, because it's actually fast. It's not just.
Yeah, but it sounds like this. You know, it's like, who's sending a telegram?
Amazing typing skills for an old man.
Yeah. No, sorry. We strive for genuine comedy. Maybe 2.5 stars out of 5 jamming ability. If I'm lucky, if people are being kind about it. And, you know, audio quality. So stop that. So Theon with a 10. I don't think so. Like these creatures have. Yeah, I know. He glares at him, but it's like he just killed his friend. So, meh. What are you going to do? Now, he's got options left. That only takes like one action?
Yep.
Surely it takes more.
Nope. Intimidation. Single action.
Single action.
Okay. Well, all right.
It's a powerful tool.
So we know what the rest is.
Okay. Well, he'll
swing better, better.
Yeah, he moves up. You guys take the, you know, you guys take the archer, right? He goes for the second for finger 11, finger 12, baboon number 2. I have a name, you know. And yeah.
Not for long.
Not for long. They give monsters. This is why you don't give monsters names. You know, it's like, oh, you're a monster. We're just going to kill you. You know, it would really,
you feel bad for the writer.
Well, there's about 5 or 6, maybe even 7 Age of Ashes podcasts out there right now. And they all got together because they wanted to start doing crossovers with the, like, how much fun would that be? You know, sharing players from another podcast and DMs from another podcast. We're discussing it all in forum. And everyone got onto the, so Alec, you know, did he die? Did your players? Some of them are like, and my players killed him outright. The man is standing on a symbol of Asmodeus. You know, kill him. And other ones are like, oh, he was useless. You know, and all the DMs are like, no, he was awesome. You know. And I think once, and then there's like this one podcast where like, and he's marrying one of my players. Or something, you know, like, I miss Al.
You know, that's awesome.
My point is, I don't feel too bad, even though you guys are just kicking open doors and slicing throats and not getting into the lore, talking to monsters, because somebody out there is. Just as an
us. The all-action dwarven podcast.
Yeah, action dwarves.
Dwarven stealth.
Yeah, pretty much.
Token human.
All right. Natural 20.
Oh, my God. Another crit for Frank.
For experience.
Oh,
with us.
My God.
Frank, whatever you're doing, man. Like, I think
you keep doing it.
Actually, I don't think he's sick.
No, this is just proof that the GM's dice are loaded.
Just click on the sheet.
What are you talking about?
Long gash. Normal damage, crit effect. The target takes 1d4 persistent bleed damage. The DC of the flat check to remove the bleed damage is 5 higher than normal.
Ew. Oh my God.
That's a DC. That's like the whole anime, like blood, like
what? Yeah. What is the DC of removing bleed damage, one might ask? No, really, I'm asking.
5 plus the wound effect.
Oh, so 5 plus the d4.
Wound 1, wound 2, wound 3, wound 4. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
that is gross.
Here's the normal damage.
Oh my God.
No, you only take the first 2 dice, right? So 1 and a 3 plus 8, right? So he does 12 points.
That's still gross.
Yep. And then he does the bleed. Persistent bleed will come up next round of 2. So 5, and then you double it because there's 5 higher than normal's 10, and then the 2 is 12. So he needs a flat check of 12. Correct me if I'm doing this wrong, Rob. Anyone?
You have to wait for the delay.
Yeah. No. We'll get him into the call here, but for now, Ow. 12 points of damage. Now I've got to go through the monster and take some damage back. You know. No, you're not quite dead. Not dead yet. But you're bleeding. Now, the persistent bleed effect, does that start this round or next round? I don't think it starts immediately. I think it starts on the next time you come
it's
around.
It's probably on his turn, would be my guess.
On hit. Without checking, without making noise,
yeah.
Without checking right away, I do. It is on the
monster's
individual's turn.
Yeah.
Yes, the individual's turn.
The monster turn.
Versus monster individual. I'll use individual. I could be wrong, but
we have rights, you know, right?
Yeah.
We have a union.
No, like, go freaking Frank, man. He's just like,
oh, I heard that.
Yeah, no. Oh, you like that?
Sing chong.
Yeah, he's just going to town. All right, let's get Rob in here. Help us out.
Well, I'm getting stuff from Rob.
Okay.
Because of the lag, he's like, what the?
No, we'll put him in. We'll put him in the call. So
I'm living at a sink is driving me crazy. I don't understand.
No, it's fine. Rob has been rather ill as well. Like, you know, people just, the flu's going around. So I wasn't going to ask Rob to
coronavirus.
No. No. That's.
Fancy.
Nobody's traveled overseas. Well, hold on. Isn't your daughter back from overseas?
Oh.
No, she specifically avoided that route.
Yay for her.
Yeah, I'm surprised no one told me that I had the map shifted. This whole battle, and all you guys can see is Albrick and everybody looking into the room going, Theo, and damn. You know, I have to shift my map here.
I'm looking at...
Yeah, he just sees a couple dwarven butts.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I mean like what the stream sees, because I have
yeah. all we see is the blood spraying past the door.
Are you done?
Are we done here? Splash of blood.
So that was like his opening attack, and he gets another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he intimidated and then moved and attacked.
And attacked. Yeah.
Yeah, he's done.
Oh, that's right.
Well, if you want to give him another turn.
Oh, thank God. Yeah. No, thank God. No.
Let's haste him. Let's keep this train going.
Oh.
Thank God. The Bogart at the top sees this going on.
This massacre.
Yeah, like, no kidding. And is going to open up with a terrifying croak. He throws his head back and emits this terrible noise, something like just curling Matt's toes. Eh?
It is.
I think he peed a little. So my opening move, you know, because really, I mean, why wouldn't I? The terrifying croak, auditory, emotion, fear, mental. You guys, 30 feet, if you can hear it. So, Niles, are you... No, you're within 5, 10. Yeah, I think you're just in there, because we got 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Yeah, there's only one... You know what I mean? There's only one... only one. Now,
So that's a will save?
Yes, and I'll tell you what, I'll give you... Since you guys are beyond the doors, you know what I mean? Like, it's in another room, I'll give you a plus one for the slight muffle, you know. And because you've experienced it before, DC 18.
Oh, my God.
Yep. But I'll give you two that are not in the room, not Miros.
27.
27. Oh, wait, no, 28.
Oh, yes,
22.
We fear nothing.
Obviously, I got to work on my terrifying.
What, what about Theoan?
He's immune to it. He's in a blood rage.
He's in a blood rage. He's, He'll call you back later. No, he's got a plus five. 17. Oh, he fails it by one. Oh, 18, no.
They get the plus one. Oh, he's right there.
Point blank, right? Yeah, yep.
He's in there.
Oh, poor
he's
guy.
In, he's in there. I wasn't even going to give it to Miro. So just talking about you two that are like in the adjacent room. But anyway, and that's being nice, because they say I'm not a nice DM. I'm nice. I want to be nice. So Theoan is going to take on a little bit of fear factor. My man, Theoan.
Eat cockroaches. Live.
Yeah. On TV, yeah. No, seriously, he...
Joe Rogan.
Boy is a little bit frightened.
A bird.
Yep. A little bit frightened, but I'm sure he'll get over it soon. So for openers, just for openers, this is the best part, because that was like one action. Then he pulls a javelin and throws it at the one easy target that I see, which is Theoan. Now... Some might argue that I try and nail the guy in the door and the guy's down there, but like he got his back to me and he's just ripping through my ally. So yeah, I think, you know, pulls weapons and, you know, throws the javelin at the back of Theoan, the murdering dwarf. Theoan, the baboon slayer. Theoan, the multi-named, no. Natural one, critical miss.
He stabs his own eye.
Hi.
He hits his...
Hi, my name is Werrett, and I have a name, and now I have to draw a freaking card. Damn it, Frank!
All these crits. Actually, Matt, you started off with the first one.
And who says that the DM's dice aren't loaded? 20? Well,
it's an extreme.
20?
What? I'm rolling virtual dice. You know what? That's right. I got my Age of Ashes dice here, you know. There we go. Oh, look at that. That's an 18. You know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we're going to start using those.
We can't see them. It doesn't go.
Yep. Lowered guard. Ranged attack. You provoke reactions as if you used a move action.
Ew.
But no one's adjacent to me. And he's already used his reaction this turn, this round, this encounter. How often can he use them? Once a round, isn't it?
You get one reaction.
Yeah, unless you dump feats into it.
Yeah. I mean, he can't, like, draw his clan dagger and throw it behind him, can he? That's, like, you need a feat for that. Oh my god, imagine if he had that fluid action. You know what? I'm not building his character. Shut up. Okay. So, don't tell him I'm telling him to defeat monsters. A javelin throw, such a bad miss that he just does the big Olympics, you know, run, and then stands there for a few seconds watching it miss and, like, you know, completely lowers her guard. If only there was someone, you know, adjacent. Eris, the war puppy, loses his shit, bursts from your robes, runs in there for the kill. No? Okay. Miros, you're up, sir.
Hey. What do you mean? I was hugging all the fun.
The weak humanoid that's bleeding out the bottom is next.
All right. I gotta see that javelin come flying by, walking the room. What's going on here? Dead body, bleeding body, not bleeding body. That one's mine.
So now that the horror in silence, it just happened so fast. Okay, even the battle music was horrified and didn't cue up till now. You know, like, it's like time slowed down. He comes in, cross the chief, death, next one, throw, watch, and then you get that, and then sound and audio come back, and the battles join. Miros, what are you doing?
Oh, head up north towards the one croaker who hooked that javelin. Poke him beside him here. That's one move. I give him a flurry of beatings.
Okay. So, stepping north towards the poker.
Yes. Beaten one. 11. More like a wagon, not a beaten. Beaten two. 21. I forgot to target him.
Hmm. Now, I don't know if he's connected to the call, but I just saw Rob connect to the game. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to clear the owner, and Rob can take Theo in for a ride. Because I'm obviously doing far
that
too...
sounds terrible.
Far, no. Hi, Rob. Hope you're feeling better. Rob Hammond, everybody, is going to do a much worse job than... I've been way too good with Theo. And I'm doing all the work for him. These guys are just watching me play against myself.
Theo is tricky. You told me rules, Lair, but I'll give it a shot. Right.
If you're up for it, buddy. Because I'm doing way too good a job here.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine, yeah. So, Miros attacks and hits.
That was my first attack.
11 misses, 21 hits.
Yeah, I flurry blows that, so I get two attacks with one action.
Right. And
so still one more action.
But I see two attacks. I see Falling Stone Strike, 11.
Yep.
And then Falling Stone Strike, 21.
Yep, that's my flurry. That's one action.
Okay. So damage, before we get into anything else? Like, you don't want to, like, waste strikes if you drop them, right? So,
11 points.
Suffering moderate damage. You go to town on them, and the rubbery skin, you know, absorbing the blows, but you think you've got these creatures figured out after fighting a couple already, and he's starting to hurt pretty bad. Taking moderate amount of
damage. Multiple hits to the face.
Always hit everything in the face.
All right, and one little quick roundhouse. Ah! Ooh, 23.
Hitting? Yes. Yes, yes.
Ah! 5.
All right, well, you're chewing him up. You know, this is the first time this thing has been hit, and you're doing fairly well. Got anything else?
No. That's my turn.
Right.
Jeff, could you share the images with me?
Yep. Sharing the map. So, just to recap, okay, Frank's knocking these baboon people down like they're domino, and a flurry of blows to a much larger bugart than you'd encountered in the last room is what's going down. And I'm done playing Frank Sky for him because he's just doing far too well by the DM's hand.
There's me and my mighty axe now.
Mm. So, another, unfortunately for me, named creature tries to not attack, but merely defend itself from the onslaught. Now, it has Frank has used his reaction this round. Like, we're still in round one. So I'm going to move back to the door around a corner here. And I'm going to draw
lead
my whip and try to disarm him with it.
Ooh.
Because we haven't covered, with a hit of a 20, we haven't covered combat maneuvers of ye old, have we yet?
We've done grab.
No. So how might one disarm? I'm thinking I got a hit, which I just did with a 20, and it's probably some sort of hitting his like fortitude finesse, like, you know, like how the grapple works. You got to hit his fortitude DC. I'm betting the you know, disarm finesse, reach weapon, you know, all this kind of thing is based on a roll like that. You know what I mean? We got Robin here. Stop typing.
It is.
You're killing me with the microphone, dude. Bah, 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 bah. What's that?
Is my mic active?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay. It's an athletics check against the opponent's reflex DC.
Oh, okay. So I shouldn't attack with the weapon.
No.
I should actually.
Athletics check.
Okay. So we'll have to ignore that. And I will. Because normally I would just take the roll and do the damage, but I did specifically state I was trying to actually, knock him down. Not trip, disarm him.
Yeah.
But this thing doesn't have. Oh, here we go. Athletics, 26. Wraps around the axe and yoink! And the axe goes flying. I waited for him to bring it up for a swing, and when it was just sort of. And he just.
That's scary.
Yep.
Is that a critical success?
Against Theowen's. What am I hitting? I just got excited when I saw 26. Oh, natural 20. I guess it would. Yeah. No, natural 20. Quit success. Success. Full disarm. Well, it's not only that. The natural 20 makes it a critical success. So if you disarm on a critical success, he's got a reflex of 7, so I only need a 17. A 26 isn't 10 above, but a natural 20 bumps it so. Right? So critical success on disarm. I'm assuming he doesn't just drop it and I yank it. It actually goes flying across the room. Whee! That'd be my guess.
Isn't critical success 10 over the DC?
Sorry? There's two ways to get a critical success. A natural 20 or 10 over the DC gets you a critical success. Natural 20 on the dice, which I just rolled.
Okay, so
natural 20. No, here it is. It's right here.
Okay.
It falls into the opponent's space. I have to go after it if I want it.
Oh, so I literally go, yoink, that's mine now.
Tap my feet now.
Awesome.
Thank you, Archive of Nethys.
Yes, shout out to Blake Davis.
And yes, it does provoke if I go after it.
Well, this is a reach weapon, so come and get it. Now, I moved, I pulled the weapon as an action, and I've used it, so I think he's done. Niles, you are up. Elbrick, you are on deck. And we are getting to the bottom of round one, which Theowen has completely dominated, I gotta say. Great job, Frank. Frank?
Oh, yeah. Don't forget to apply the bleed damage.
Gets his ass kicked.
Yeah.
Don't forget to apply the bleed damage.
Right, so I'd rolled a 2 earlier, so I will bleed him out for 2 more. Thank you. And I get a flat check. Flat check with a d20. Which I make. Yay! I stop bleeding. Now, I'm assuming you got to take the bleed damage once before you can flat check to recover. Because that was a crit effect. I do
believe that is the way it is.
That's how it's going.
It would make sense. Like, what's the point of hamstringing your damage for a crit card when the guy goes, oh, flat check, DC 5, blah, 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 DC 10, easy peat, you know what I mean? So he's got to take
it. Whenever it's bleed, they'll always take the first D4, no matter what.
You
save against that first bleed damage after it.
No, that's fine. Yay, I got one right. So, Niles.
I will move 15 feet to the east.
You notice, ladies and gentlemen, how they don't just kind of go, you're right, move on. They both retold me the rule, even though I nailed it on my first try. No, Jeff, you actually... Okay. So glad to have everybody here. Sorry, Niles, go ahead.
I'll move 15 feet to the east through the double doors.
Yep.
Past Albrick, and I will cast a spell.
Thank you for that auditory description. You're forgiven for all the thumping.
Yes.
From this episode, anyway.
From this episode.
So what do you got?
And I'll cast Forbidden Ward.
Ooh, what's that doing?
On Miros. Ward. Well, I ward an ally against an attack and hostile spells from a target enemy.
Okay.
The one that he's punching. Oh. The target ally gains a +1 status bonus to his AC and saving throws against the target's enemy's attacks, spells, and other effects.
Okay.
Oh, I feel warm and tingly all over.
Yeah, pretty much.
Let's have it.
Ah, right in the ear.
Magic. Jim Henson magic.
Jim Henson magic.
Wait, you don't like that? You don't like that? I thought that was pretty good. So
I will cast it. Da, 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 da. It is a cantrip. 0 level spell.
So. Okay. And
I am done. I have moved in. It is 2 actions. So I'm okay.
Albrick.
Woohoo. My turn.
Bring it home.
I will walk into the room.
Mm-hmm.
Left one for you to end.
Mm-hmm. And magic missile.
Now, if I had a 15-foot reach weapon and somebody crossed the barrier of that reach, which Albrick just did. See, Niles entered my reach but didn't move through it. whereas Albrick is technically moving through the circumference of my reach, I believe I get an attack.
Correct.
Hmm?
What's the so, what, circumference whip. Of what reach?
My 15-foot whip.
It's 15 feet. Ooh.
Yeah.
And he has attack of opportunity as a class skill?
A reaction.
I'm just looking at that, but unless somebody can prove me wrong with the old whip is only 6.5 feet. What?
No. He will provoke if he has the attack of opportunity.
Reaction.
The reaction. If he has the reaction, it happens every time. Once per round.
Unless other feats are added.
Yeah. No, they don't. They
haven't muddy the waters.
No, he has the whip and he's doing things like disarm and stuff, but no, he doesn't have the they give him other stuff, so. But as a rules clarification, I wanted to point that out, like, you know, traversing left or right within a reach space still to save my, you know,
still provoked if you have the reaction.
To save face. Yep.
Which is fine. So I'll move in, cast magic missile
on
at the
Bugart,
yes.
Okay.
And because I moved, I only have two actions this round to do it. So pew pew, two missiles. First one does 4, second one does 3, total of 7 damage to the Bugart.
Okay.
Can I have a clarification?
That's why you're here. Don't ask us questions.
This is my loop. How high is the ceiling?
Most rooms are about 15 feet. Most hallways are 10. No, because this is a very skinny. So, technically, though, it's a room.
Okay. My question is this. We can see this along. Was Albrecht standing in front of me?
In front of Theon?
When he struck with the whip? Or did you just move there?
I just moved there.
Okay. I didn't strike with the whip because I don't
just
have
load up. I'm like, if he had a whip, he'd go right through you, not to me. Especially on retrieving the weapon. But no, now that I just realized you just moved there. My map's just lit up.
Oh, no, he came through a door. He's been behind you the whole time. That's fine.
Gotcha. Just making sure.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
I just moved into the room to the open spot by the door. And
could you get that for me, please?
Pew-pewed the...
pew-pew.
That's some pew-pewing.
Kick that back to me.
So, Albrick.
That's the end of my turn. That's what I can do. Pew-pew.
7 points.
7 points of damage.
All right. All right. I'm still standing, and I'll be standing right here next week, and we will see you next time on the Elven Portal podcast, streaming at ourselves, Dark Galaxies Gaming. Say goodnight, Rob.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Oh, say goodnight, Frank, because, like, you know, MVP for Frank. No,
yeah, I know, right?
Frank is definitely MVP.